You know that feeling, right? When you see some marketing, could be an ad, maybe an email, even a sales pitch, and it just feels off, like it's talking at someone, but definitely not you.
Oh, absolutely. It's frustrating as a person receiving it.
And if you're the one creating it, it's just, well, it's a huge waste of time and money.
It really is. And that disconnect, it nearly always comes down to not having a deep, really human understanding of who you're actually trying to reach. You
Right.
might have the demographics, sure, maybe some basic data points, but you haven't really gotten under the hood, you know, found out what makes them tick, what their real motivations and fears are.
Exactly. And that's precisely what this material you shared gets into. It lays out a pretty powerful way to tackle this, creating effective user personas.
Yeah, so this deep dive is really our chance to unpack all the insights and the practical steps from that material. It's focused on building these key profiles, especially in a B2B setting.
And it uses a really interesting real-world example, too, from property investment.
It does. It makes it very concrete.
So, our mission here today, we want to pull out the most important, most actionable bits, and basically give you a clear step-by-step guide.
The goal is that you, listening, walk away knowing not just what user personas are, but actually how to build them.
And crucially, how to use them so you can speak directly to, well, the hearts and minds of your ideal audience. Make that connection.
Sounds like a plan. Let's dive in.
Okay, first things first, let's define it based on the material. What exactly is a user persona?
So think of it like a semi-fictional profile. It's designed to represent a really key segment of your target audience.
Semi-fictional. Okay.
Yeah, but, and this is a super important point, the sources keep hammering home. It's way more than just the basic demographics, you know, age, job title, where they live, that stuff.
Right, it's not just sticking a label on a group.
No, not at all. A strong persona, according to this framework we're looking at, digs much, much deeper. It
What?
gets into their actual real-world goals, their biggest pain points, how they typically go about making
Or
decisions.
behaviors.
Exactly. And even the underlying emotional drivers,
Yeah.
what's really pushing their choices.
The material uses a great analogy. It's like building a detailed character sheet, like for a game or a story.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And this is the critical difference stressed over and over. This character isn't just made up. It's built carefully, piece by piece, based on real data.
Right. Actual conversations you've had, observed behavior, hard analytics, it's grounded.
And that's why they're apparently so powerful.
That's where the power comes from, yes. Because when you understand your audience on that kind of granular human level, well, then you can tailor everything.
Your messaging, your design.
Your whole strategy, really. You craft it in a way that resonates deeply, feels genuinely personal, and speaks directly to their specific needs and worries.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You can't really connect if you don't understand who you're talking to. So, if we're ready to actually build one, where does this step-by-step process kick off?
It starts with reality. Simple as that. Step one, start with real research. This is the absolute foundation. You have to base your insights on actual data, direct input from people. And you've got to consciously fight the urge to rely just on assumptions or, you know, gut feelings.
That's the hard part sometimes, avoiding those assumptions. So, where does this material suggest we actually gather that real data? What are the sources?
It lists several key ones. One-on-one interviews, especially with current clients or even prospects, are highlighted as incredibly valuable.
Talking to people directly.
Yes. Also, analyzing surveys and any feedback forms you have, digging into your CRM data, website analytics.
What people are doing on your site.
Exactly. Plus, social listening. What are people saying out there? And even checking out reviews on your competitor sites can be really revealing.
And within that research, the material really emphasizes something. It's not just about asking questions.
No.
It's about asking intentional, insight-driven questions. And then the part we often forget, actually listening, like properly listening to the answer.
Precisely. Because, as the material points out, it's those conversations that uncover the why.
Ugh, the why.
Yeah. The underlying motivations, the fears, the needs, the things that raw data points alone just can't fully explain.
They give some examples of foundational questions they used for that property investment client, didn't they?
They did. Things like, what's your primary goal for investing right now? Is it income, retirement, growth, or how do you typically research and evaluate investment opportunities?
And also asking about their concerns, their fears, how hands-on they like to be.
And crucially, their motivation preference. Like, are they driven more by passive income or capital appreciation? And then digging into why they feel that way.
Getting to that why seems absolutely critical.
It unearths the real drivers. It's fundamental.
Okay, so step one is gather all this rich real-world data and listen hard. What's step two?
Step two is where you start making sense of it all. Spot the patterns and segment.
Okay.
So after you really immersed yourself in all that research data, you'll naturally start to see common themes emerging.
Like recurring goals.
Recurring goals, yeah. Similar fears or objections popping up again and again. Shared habits, maybe lifestyle choices, or even how they prefer to use technology. You'll see clusters forming across different people.
So this is where you start grouping individuals based on those shared characteristics you're identifying in the data?
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. You're essentially asking yourself, okay, what specific combination of goals, fears, habits, or even lifestyle factors seem to keep appearing together?
Right.
The material actually details how that property investment client did this. They talked to over 100 investors first.
Wow. Okay.
And initially, they used quite broad market segmentation categories, things like geography, demographics, of course, but also behavioral patterns and psychographics.
Psychographics?
Yeah.
That's about lifestyle, values, attitudes.
Exactly. But the material makes a point here. Segmentation isn't like a final step. It's often just a starting point that needs more refinement.
So they had to dig deeper.
They did. For this specific client, they found they needed to go beyond just who the investors were or where they lived. They needed to segment them by their core investment nature.
Their nature, what does that mean?
Basically, their underlying approach, like their tolerance for risk and their primary motivation for investing in the first place. And this led them to identify four distinct key investor types. There were the secured passive income seekers.
Okay, looking for safety and income.
Right. Then secured wealth builders, maybe prioritizing growth, but still quite cautious. Then the more risk-tolerant groups. Aggressive passive income investors and aggressive wealth builders.
And I remember seeing that targeting matrix image they included. It visually mapped these out.
Yes, it did.
You could see, for example, the secured investor type was often maybe 55 plus bear, mm-hmm. described as cautious, methodical, really valuing financial stability.
Exactly. Whereas the aggressive investor profile might be younger, say below 45, much more interested in things like off-plan properties.
Off-plan.
Huh?
That's buying before it's built, right? Hoping it goes up in value by completion.
Correct. Aiming for that potentially higher growth, willing to take on more risk. So segmenting by this nature, it adds that vital layer of psychological insight.
It goes beyond just age or income.
Way beyond. It gets to the core mindset that's actually driving their investment decisions.
Okay, that makes sense. So you've done the research, found the patterns, created these core segments based on nature or other key factors. Step three sounds like where the personality comes in.
Step three is bring your personas to life. This is absolutely where you flesh out those segments. You make them feel like real people.
Adding the human elements.
Totally. The framework suggests including a whole range of information here. Not just the basics, name, age, job, location, family situation.
Although those are important for context.
They are.
Yeah.
But you also need their specific goals, their key pain points, what motivates them, what actively blocks them or turns them off.
Yep.
Their core values or beliefs, how they use technology, their social media habits, and even sketching out a quick snapshot of a typical day in their life.
Oh, I liked that day in the life suggestion. It really helps you visualize them, doesn't it? More than just bullet points.
It really does.
Yeah.
And the material then gives us those two fantastic detailed examples from the property client to illustrate this. David Wilson and Mark Thompson.
Right. David representing the secured passive income seeker and Mark as the aggressive wealth builder.
And seeing their profiles laid out side by side, it just makes the differences so incredibly clear.
Absolutely. Let's look at David Wilson first. He's presented as, what, a senior accountant, mid-50s?
Meticulous, conservative.
Right. His main goal is secure income for retirement. Peace of mind.
And his pain points.
Yeah.
They revolve around complexity, not having enough time to manage things himself, and a deep distrust of anything that feels like a get-rich-quick scheme.
So the insight there is huge. If you're talking to David, your messaging has to focus on reliability, simplicity, transparency.
Absolutely. He's motivated by stability, financial clarity. He's actively demotivated by high-risk, confusing processes. You need to build trust. Show him proof. Clear processes.
Okay, now contrast David with Mark Thompson. He's presented as a tech startup founder, mid-40s.
Driven, moves fast, thinks big, sees property as a tool for high-growth wealth creation, likes those off-plan deals, looking for undervalued opportunities.
And his pain points are completely different. He's worried about project delays, doesn't want to micromanage anything.
And he's busy. He needs instant access to reliable deal flow and trustworthy data.
So the key insight for reaching Mark, it's all about speed, efficiency, high potential returns.
Exactly. He's motivated by the ROI, the thrill of the opportunity. He's demotivated by anything slow, low return, or anything that requires a lot of his personal time and oversight.
Your messaging for Mark needs to be bold, data-driven, really highlight the upside potential, and offer streamlined, easy processes.
You can immediately see, can't you? You would talk completely differently to David than you would to Mark.
Totally different conversations, even though they're both technically property investors.
Precisely. And without those detailed personas, you'd probably end up creating some kind of generic message that doesn't fully connect with either of them. It falls flat.
Okay, this is making a lot of sense. So you've done the research, spotted patterns, segmented, brought the personas to life with detail. What are the final steps? Seems like there's more to it.
Yes. The final steps 4, 5, and 6 are really about making these personas work for you and keeping them relevant over time.
Right.
The material really stresses this. Personas are living, working tools. They are not static documents you create once and then just file away.
So step 4 is test, tweak, improve.
Correct. You use your personas to guide your marketing strategies, your messaging, everything. And then you have to rigorously test how well that approach actually performs in the real world.
How do you do that? A-B testing, maybe?
Exactly. Looking at results from things like A-B tests, different headlines, different ad copy into different personas, gathering feedback directly from customers, observing their actual behavior.
And if something isn't landing,
then you go back to your persona assumptions. Maybe you misunderstood something. You refine the persona based on that real-world feedback. It's an iterative process.
Okay, testing and tweaking, which logically leads into step 5, put them to work.
This is where all that effort really pays off. You actively integrate these well-defined personas into your entire go-to-market strategy. Everything.
So tailoring website copy.
Tailoring website copy, designing specific marketing campaigns for specific personas, writing sales scripts that directly address their unique pain points and motivations.
Even product development.
Absolutely. Using persona insights to inform product decisions so you better serve their actual needs.
That property investment example really brought this home, didn't it? Creating those two totally different landing pages for David and Mark.
It did, vividly. One page designed specifically for that secured persona, maybe it focuses on stability, proven income streams, retirement planning.
Calmer visuals, perhaps. CTAs like download our retirement's income guide.
Exactly. And then the other page for the aggressive persona like Mark would feature more dynamic visuals, really highlight the high ROI potential, maybe have CTAs like explore high growth opportunities now.
Two different worlds aimed at two different mindsets. Okay, and the final step, step 6.
Step 6 is crucial. Keep them fresh.
Ah, because things change.
Things always change. People evolve, markets shift, new technologies pop up, your own understanding gets deeper over time.
So you can't just set and forget.
Definitely not. The material recommends actively revisiting and updating your personas on a regular basis. Maybe quarterly, maybe twice a year, depending on your market.
And you update them based on?
Based on new research you conduct, shifts in customer behavior that you observe, significant changes in the market or competitive landscape.
Yeah.
Anything that suggests your understanding needs adjustment.
So they aren't meant to be carved in stone.
Absolutely not. They are tools for continuous learning and adaptation.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. If you had to distill the ultimate takeaway from this material on user personas, what would it be?
I think the core message, really, is that building effective personas is fundamentally about moving beyond just looking at data points.
And truly understanding the actual human beings you're trying to serve.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about developing real empathy for their fears, genuinely connecting with their goals, and recognizing the day-to-day realities and motivations that shape their lives.
And it's that deep understanding, that empathy, that becomes the engine driving truly effective marketing.
Right. It leads to messages that actually land, that build trust, and ultimately convert more effectively simply because they feel relevant and resonant to the person receiving them.
It's the difference between shouting into the void with a generic message
and having a meaningful, targeted conversation with someone you actually feel like you know.
And critically, as the framework stresses throughout, this isn't just a one-off project you tick off a list.
No, it's an ongoing process, a commitment to discovery, to listening, and to adapting as things change.
So what does this mean for you listening to us right now? The examples we dove into were from property investment, but this whole framework, this approach, it applies everywhere.
Absolutely. Whether you're selling software or consulting services, physical products, doesn't matter. The core principle holds true.
Know your people. know them intimately, speak their language authentically.
And maybe most importantly, commit to continually learning from them. Never assume you know it all.
You know, perhaps the most provocative final thought from this material isn't just about the persona document itself, as valuable as that is.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe the real sustainable advantage doesn't just come from having the persona profile written down.
Okay.
Maybe it stems more from the process that creating and maintaining it represents, that ongoing commitment to research, to questioning your assumptions, to analyzing feedback, and constantly adapting based on the ever-evolving reality of your audience.
Ah, I see. So it's the act of continuous learning and adaptation itself that's the real driver of long-term success, even more so than the static document at any given point in time.
Exactly. That ongoing curiosity and responsiveness, perhaps that's the real engine. Something to think about.